In a world of uncertainty and despair,
you've been canceled.
Two heroes have reunited when they're needed the most.
Doing it for the money.
Live from the Pals for Life studios, it's the S&M Show. Here are your hosts, Shane Ryan and Mike Bowers.
We are here to talk to you today about your car's extended warranty. Welcome to the S&M Show. I'm Mike Bowers. As always, I am joined by my partner in crime, Shane Ryan. How are you?
I'm doing good, my friend. I'm hanging in there. It's almost Friday, getting ready to go on vacation. Life seems a little less complicated these last couple days, so we'll see how it goes. How about yourself?
I am surviving. It's trying to get used to this new audio setup. But in general, doing good. Just
you didn't have to go to jury duty, so I guess that's a plus, right?
Yeah, I know. I don't know if I was disappointed or excited. I think it depends on the time of day, but yeah,
right.
First 2 days they were like, call in tomorrow, and then yesterday they said if you haven't been called in yet, you're excused. So
there you go.
A whole week of nothing for jury duty, so didn't get to make any inappropriate jokes or sexual
find ways to get thrown out.
Yeah. So all in all, I'd say it was a successful time. So
there you go.
Here we are. We are at 8 or about to become 4 in the boy band tournament.
It's been a journey.
I know.
It's been a journey.
I'm getting a little sad at all this, actually, because you know, we started with 64 of these things, and now here we are about to take it down to 4. And it just, yeah, I don't know.
It's been a ride. It's been a ride. It's been some fun, some upsets, some more upsets. Like, you know, things are starting to get a little bit more heated and it's going to be interesting. I mean, we're going to have 4 great songs no matter what. I mean, that's a given.
Yeah, absolutely. So with that, we are going to go to, if I can get to it, the results. So let me bring those up real quick. Because as you may have seen in paying attention, if you pay attention to our social media, it was close. It was very, very close. So, we had one, well, one was close. The rest of them, not so much, but it was a battle till the end in one of the places where we probably expected it to be. So let's go over the results real quick, like, so you know what 4 songs you'll be hearing tonight. So here we go. We're going to go backwards, actually. Based on order of drama.
Voting.
So in the Gary region, actually ended up a lot closer than I expected. I'll Make Love to You advances to the final 4, beating out Summer Girls 55.6 to 44.4. So it's a lot closer than when the week started. So
had a good little push at the end, but just, you know, not enough. Ran out of steam.
Yeah, thank you for your service.
Probably went out where it should have went out, but one was aspirationally hoping that it went further.
Yeah, thank you for your service, guys. It's been a good run, but Boyz II Men goes to the final 4, probably rightfully so. Up to London, It's Gonna Be Me takes it handily over One Direction. What Makes You Beautiful. It's Gonna Be Me advances to the final 4 with 68.9% of the vote. Almost nice. Almost nice. In the Boston region, this was the absolute not closest. This was a runaway from the start. Everybody takes it in the end with 86.7% of the vote over When the Lights Go Out. So sorry again to friend of the show, Richie Neville. But the dream run ends in Boston. So everybody goes to the finals where they will be up against I Want It That Way by the Backstreet Boys.
They squeaked it out?
They squeaked it out. It was back and forth at 3:30. So an hour and a half before the show starts at 3:30, it was tie 50-50. And then a couple votes came in for Bye Bye Bye. And then it swung again. So 52.3% of the vote for I Want It That Way. So they will be going to the finals to take on themselves, everybody. So a Backstreet Boy song will be guaranteed to be in the final or in the championship. Thoughts on that?
Steph and I had a little debate back and forth, like listening to it after during dinner when you texted me, hey, it's 50%. And we were arguing. I was like, who do you like? And she was team Bye Bye Bye. I was team I Want It That Way. Both great songs. And I'm probably team NSYNC over Backstreet Boys. But unfortunately, I got to go with what I thought was the better song. So I'm happy. I got 3 out of 4. If LFO made the dream run, I would have had 4 for 4 on my final four picks.
Yeah, I don't know where I ended up. I think I was 2 of 4.
2 of 4?
Yeah, I'll have to check. But Erica writes in to say that was complete BS, which, I mean, it was close.
It's not complete BS. I mean, it is regarded as one of the best boy band songs of all time.
Oh, this is... This is funny. Erica says, I made the mistake of telling Patrick to vote, thinking he'd go for NSYNC, and later found out that was not the case.
Thank you, Patrick, for your service.
Have fun sleeping on the couch.
Not all heroes wear capes.
Yes, there is that. So, final four. I Want It That Way. Everybody, it's going to be me. I'll Make Love to You. That's a pretty strong... It's a pretty strong final four there, don't you think?
I mean, I think it's got representation of who people would regard as probably the best bands in this genre. Boyz II Men's probably the biggest outlier, depending upon what you consider them as part of the genre. But I think they most definitely fit, and they are monsters, and it's probably their best song to move forward. So
yeah,
the way the bracket looked out, I mean, I think we saw that this had a lot of potential to happen the way it was. We circled the Bye Bye Bye, I Want It That Way matchup from like day one,
right?
But I think everything else, the way it laid out, we kind of saw maybe a few bumps in the road, didn't know how the new age of boy bands were going to work, but I mean, I think this is what most expected. So looking forward to and more contentious voting.
Yeah, I think it's just going to get more difficult from here. But as it is the case, or as is the case every week, veryboybandsummer.com voting will open in a little under 2 hours, and you'll have a week, and then 4 will become 2. And then,
are we going to do a week, or are we going to do 2, since we technically are going to maybe take the week off next week?
That's a good question. Let's have a staff meeting afterwards to figure that out.
We'll have a staff meeting during one of the commercial breaks.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. I got a few thoughts, but we will see. But anyway, 7 o'clock Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, veryboybandsummer.com. Cast your vote on these two matchups. And make sure to vote, or you can't complain about the results. So, all right, let's get into the news of the week. So you saw Space Jam. How was that?
I did. I tried to be objective, right? Like, I wanted to view this from everywhere I can. I mean, for those of you who know me, those of you who've listened, I have a pretty big bias towards my feelings on LeBron James and what I think he is. I think he's an amazing, tremendous athlete. My problem with him is that I also think that he thinks he's a tremendous, amazing athlete. There's no humble nature in him. He's the one to remind you of this and this struggle and this strife. And he did come from a lot from like to overcome it. But his journey has been a lot of the problems that he has and things that people have gone, he brought upon himself. But he uses this as like this, everyone's against me, and they're not. But you just make yourself not likable. So I try to go around this, and there's always these MJ versus him GOAT comparisons. There's always going to be that. So I tried to go into this like not trying to hold against it and see what it was going to be and give it a fair shake. And by God, it is terrible. I think it's hard, right? Because it's not made for... I think there's two thoughts of it, right? So the thing that I will say, to be honest with it, is that I did watch it while I was babysitting my neighbor's kids. And so they are 8 and 10, and they were glued to the TV, and they totally enjoyed it, and I think they were totally, totally into it. So that was telling me that, you know, it's not made for me,
mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I think they were also banking on this nostalgia money grab aspect of it, that everybody who had this love and regard for Space Jam was going to tune in and see what it's going to be. So they knew what they were doing when they were pitting these two against it. But as far as a movie goes, I mean, LeBron is just, he's not a good actor. He's not. Not that Michael Jordan was amazing, but it's just, it was difficult to watch, and the storyline was kind of corny, and it's just, it was, they used new voices for like the Looney Tunes, so it just, and they just kind of looked different, and it felt weird, yeah. And there was a lot of like product placement for Warner Brothers, and it just was not, it was just not a good movie. It just, I wanted to try to like it, I didn't want to try to like it, I had my opinions already, I tried to fight those opinions. But like even like my wife, who has like no bearing to has no like feelings towards LeBron James, and even thinks that Space Jam is a terrible movie to begin with, because we've been watching a lot this week with my little one in anticipation for this movie coming out,
right,
she was like, I can't even watch this, this is brutal, the writing is terrible, his acting is terrible, like this is absolutely atrocious.
Yeah, well, I can't remember where I saw it, but there was something like, it was like LeBron scored, it was like 4 or 6 points in the game in the movie, versus yep. MJ who scored like 20 something.
But the thing, he scored 4 to 6 points, but the thing was, is also like, it was, not only was it Space Jam, it was Space Jam meets NBA Jam. Mm. Like the whole premise of it is that his son created this like, NBA video game that they were playing in, that, or this basketball video game they were playing in, where you get like style points for like what you do in your moves, and it like blows up your score based upon how much style you have. So it was literally like an NBA Jam versus Space Jam. So I would go as far to say not only did LeBron ruin Space Jam, but he also ruined NBA Jam in the process.
No,
that's how bad it was. It was brutal. I mean some of the characters were kind of cool, but it just didn't feel right. And again, it's a new legacy, it's not Space Jam 2, I've been corrected on that, it's not a sequel by any means. There's a little like kind of joking thing, a couple jokes they play to it, but what I will say, and I will give him credit, and I don't know if it was him, the writers, people did it, people are going to be like, maybe they're just like, hey, LeBron, you're going to come off like this ultra douche, so maybe we should make people like you more and make a couple of jokes about the Heat and you leaving other teams. And there was a few of those zingers in there, which was kind of nice. So I will give him that. There was a little bit of like, haha, making fun of myself, but it was bad. It was like, I mean, he called himself King like numerous times, and like they wanted to go after the king of basketball. Like they were bringing up this whole like he's the king type stuff, and you're just like, come on, man, like just chill out. We get it. You're good. I don't know. I was over. I went into it with a bad attitude. I came out feeling justified in my bad attitude, if that makes sense.
Well, I mean, the good news is you didn't pay anything for it, other than
no.
Your HBO.
I borrowed someone else's HBO Max membership so I can watch it.
Oh, even better. So you didn't actually have to pay for HBO Max.
Correct. So there was, he got viewership from me, but he did not get any of my finances to do so. My personal finances.
Okay. Even better. Okay.
So did you finally bite the bullet and go see Fast and Furious?
I did. I saw it last Friday.
Was it everything you hoped and dreamed of?
Absolutely. It's just so like, and I mean, let's be clear. The first movies, even though they were more realistic, they were still pretty absurd from a plot standpoint.
Oh yeah.
But now it's just like, how
did that on steroids?
Yeah, it's like, this person was dead, now they're alive, and even the explanation didn't really make sense for why they're alive, and we're strapping a rocket onto a car and flying it to the moon. It's just, it's absurd.
Why not? Our billionaires and millionaires are doing it, so why can't Fast and the Furious?
All right, so we're at the halfway point. Shall we cancel some things? Okay, it's time for everybody's favorite segment, including ours.
It's that time for Shane and Mike to cancel cancel things that they don't like. Cancel Corner.
Cancel Corner, where we take aim at the concerns about cancel culture by canceling even more things. And we don't have a sponsor this week, so we can get right into it. Shane, what do you got?
So this week has been a theme, and it's all about my shoulder and health insurance and my trials and tribulations with the man and the system over the past couple weeks. But this week, I'm just canceling health insurance in general. I know I need it, and like I'm saying this as like when I saw what the bill would cost if I didn't have health insurance. But the flip side of it is that health insurance always finds ways to charge you for new different things and angles and stuff that they have, that all these hidden charges, and like you pay, like it's the only shiesty ass organization that like you pay, and you pay a crap ton of money up front, and then they keep sending you bills for other things they tack on later on down the road. So my new thing that I found out today is coinsurance, which is the first time I've ever had to deal with coinsurance. So,
oh no.
So yeah, so I paid, not only did I pay like my deductible, my MRI fee of like 300 plus bucks for whatever it was, when I called and verified how much am I going to be out of pocket for this, and like, this is what it's going to be. And then all of a sudden I get a bill again for like another 20 bucks for coinsurance, which is like, then they pay what they say, then they pay what you say, and then they take the sum of the difference and charge you 20% based upon your deductible. Like, it's a whole load of crap, and it just feels like no matter what I do, I'm always owing them money. And you get this whole, like, explanation of benefits, which they send you it for everything. If you, like, look at a doctor, you get an explanation of benefits. If you do any of these other things, you get, like, all these things where I'm like, you're just killing paper, killing paper, killing paper. Most of the time, I throw them out because I'm like, whatever, I don't really need them. But at this time, it's just, it's another thing where it's like, I called three times. I'm like, what's my out-of-pocket cost going to be for this? And like, I had to get it. I have to get the MRI. It's a rite of passage. The doctor's not going to just open me up shooting blind. So I get it. But it's just kind of annoying when it's like, hey, here's what you pay. Here's what we market on our thing. But then we then have to go back and then we have to adjust it and then add these other percentages based upon this and coinsurance. Like, why? You know what it's going to charge. Why can't you just do the flat rate and make it easy? Like, I'd rather just pay that $20 up front and then not have to deal with, like, then after paying, like, all this money to then think I'm past it and then a couple weeks later get all these, like, additional bills after the fact. Like, it's really not that hard of a system. Like, you know, you should know what my deductible is going into it and how much I've used it. You should know what your costs are and what, how much, like, those costs are up front. How much you're going to cover is up front. Like, it shouldn't be rocket science. Like, it shouldn't be this constant battle of, like, after you pay all this, you then still have to pay for all these adjustments later on after the fact. So for that reason, I'm done with health insurance. I'm grateful for it, but it's just, it's frustrating that you can't just tell me what my freaking costs are. So I'm canceling them this week.
You've been canceled.
The other part that I hate about insurance is the coding. So, have we ever talked about when I went in the hospital for my heart back in Vegas?
No.
So, I'll spare the long version of it, but we went to Vegas a couple years ago for a wedding, and the last night we were supposed to be there, I ended up in the hospital because my heart went into AFib.
Okay.
And my insurance is basically like, it's supposed to be limited to essentially Washington State.
Yeah. You're in network. If it's out of network type stuff.
Yeah, exactly. But given the severity of everything, they approved paying for the hospital in Vegas, but, and I got a letter and everything that was like approved for code 8 something or another AFib.
Okay.
Then I get, there's an explanation of benefits that came in when the hospital tried to charge insurance and insurance wouldn't pay anything. And the reason for that is because the hospital was coding it as, I think if AFib was coded 843, they coded it 841, which is breathing problems. Okay. Which is like, we wouldn't approve a hospital stay for breathing problems, you know, recode it and submit it. So it's just those stupid things like...
Yeah, like public intoxication or drunk in public. Like, you know, the...
Right.
The
yeah,
random,
they were like two numbers off and the insurance company's like, nope, not going
to
pay any of it.
The same thing. And then you have to fight and battle. It's just, it's a whole, like, I get why we have to have... Well, I get why we got to have it, and like, I mean, it's not the greatest system, and we can argue the merits of like unified socialized healthcare, like all these different things, but it's just still a bunch of crap because it's just all these things where it's like, they tell you you have to have it and you need it to go do all these things, but then like they do everything in their power to not pay what they tell you they're going to pay, and it just and they always find ways to do it. Like, oh, let's turn this, and then we'll call this term co-insurance. Like, what the hell is co-insurance? Yeah. I have regular insurance. Like, why do I need now this co-insurance so that you can then charge me again and make it seem like it's my, like, I'm agreeing to this and I'm all for this part of the deal. Like, it's crap, man.
Yeah, I remember that first health insurance the first health insurance I had out of grad school. Every time I went to the doctor, I was either getting a bill afterwards for additional money after I did the copay, or I was getting a refund because they charged me too much. They never got it right because it's so complicated.
They made it complicated themselves, like just...
Yeah, I agree.
Come up with a bill, like a menu of options and a cost for it, and then we'll call it. Like, it's really not that hard of a concept.
Yeah, it costs $300 for this. We will charge you $50.
You have this plan, it costs this. Like, it's not that hard.
Yeah.
Canceled.
It's stupid.
Canceled.
Yeah. Double cancel. All right, so I'm gonna dip into the sports realm this week, okay. And I'm gonna cancel conference realignment.
Okay.
Based on the note you had in the agenda about, we'll save the horns down piece for a little bit later, but specifically, the University of Texas and the University of Oklahoma are now inquiring about moving to the Southeastern Conference. So the Big 12. That has 10 teams right now, could potentially have 8 after they change their name from the Big 8 to the Big 12.
Big 10 has 12. And,
yeah, the Big 10 has 12 teams.
Pac-10 has 12.
The ACC is all over the place. The Pac-12 at least changed their name, though. But yeah, nothing makes sense anymore, especially like these geographic conferences that aren't, like, there's no geographic sense to it anymore. I think we're going to get to a point where we have like two super conferences of 74 teams and only two of them are still going to be good.
But at that point, you might as well just do like a semi-pro league, right? Because then, like, how are you going to choose? Like, it's unfair for like revenue sharing for other colleges, or we're going to have come to like a revenue sharing model. Like, it's in a downward spiral.
Yeah. It's stupid because nothing makes sense anymore, and then they try to make it about academics, and I'm just done with it, man. So, conference realignment, goodbye.
You've been canceled!
It's a mess, man. And then you got teams in those conferences blocking it happening because then they're going to lose recruiting. Like, it's such a... It's such a mess. It's so messed up, man. It's so messed up.
Yeah, my favorite is Texas A&M. Like, we should be the only team from Texas in the Southeastern Conference. Well, you shouldn't be in the Southeastern Conference because you're not in the Southeast.
Well, that's what South Carolina did. South Carolina was getting smoked in the ACC, so then they jumped over to the SEC, and then they've been blocking Clemson ever since, when Clemson has a better academic profile. Like, none of it makes sense. And like, well, they hide behind academic caliber.
I know.
That's why FSU couldn't get in, because supposedly their caliber wasn't as good. It's a mess.
So stupid.
It's a mess.
You got anything else?
Yeah, I'm canceling train stops. So I figured why not, right? Like, this is the point where it's like, I appreciate trains. I know that our country was built on them and the railroad industry and the coals, and I'm very thankful for that. But the fact that I have to then, like, get my normal day-to-day commute stopped by a train that's going, like, these things can go fast as hell, where it's going, like, 5 miles an hour, and it's, like, 75 cars, like, going through, and it just kind of slows you down. And it always happens, like, at, like, 5 o'clock when I'm getting out, and I got, like, 10 minutes to go get my daughter from work. I'm pushing it at the end, and then all of a sudden the friggin' train comes, and I got to call and beg the people who are, like, watching my daughter at daycare to be like, I swear I'm coming. I'm just stuck behind this big-ass train for another 10 minutes. Like, it's just ridiculous. Like, the fact that, like, there's usually cars that are lined up. I mean, in remote areas, I get, like, a train stop, no one there. But in, like, actual areas, like, Henrietta's kind of crowded. This is on the main thoroughfare in Henrietta, like, the Rochester suburb going out. At 5 o'clock, when it always seems to come through, there's a lot of people. I mean, there's 17,000 kids at this school. There's a bunch of faculty members, like 3,500 faculty members. People are leaving at 5 o'clock at this time to go home. Like, it just doesn't make the thought of the fact that, like, you have this train route that goes right down the middle of it. It's kind of ridiculous. And then why the hell do we have to stop for the train? Why doesn't the train stop for us, let the traffic go, and then this train then go from there? So it's like, it seems like there's only really one, it's a cargo train, so it's like one to like five people really affected about it. When you're then affecting 75 other people who have to like go and do whatever they got to do about their life, like, how is that fair in the grand scheme of things? So while I appreciate the train industry, and if my father-in-law is listening, I know he loves trains. I apologize, Rick, for this, but I don't think he is, but I'm just covering my bases on this. But I think it's just archaic system. It's ridiculous. The fact that like everybody else's life needs to be done when like most of these cargo things are empty anyway. It's a bunch of crap. I just think it's archaic on these systems. I think we have the technology to either reroute them or, unfortunately, move on to a different way of method of transportation, because we pretty much have anyway. So the fact that those keep impacting our day-to-day lives and us getting to point A to point B faster and more efficiently, I'm canceling them until we come up with flying cars.
You've been canceled.
But see, here's the thing. We've already come up with the flying car. As Fast and the Furious 9
and Bezos
has showed us. Well, yeah, flying penis, but
which is better?
Yeah, we just got to strap a rocket engine onto a car and launch it from a friggin' missile, and you got flying cars.
There we go.
Yeah, we got it.
Yeah.
So that was Cancel Corner. Fun times were had by all. So we're going to dive into part two of our interview with Maria Sherman. She's the author of the book Larger Than Life, a history of boy bands from NKOTB to BTS. The second part of the interview, we talk about some of the more modern boy bands, some of the gender dynamics in play as far as fandom and everything. And then at the end, talk a little Nickelback, because
why not?
That's what we do. Why not? So we're going to play that. And then we'll be back to wrap up the show. So stay with us. We will be back. Yeah, absolutely. So you mentioned in the book at one point talking about some of these other groups that more or less were one-hit wonders. Thinking of groups like BB Mac. I think Soul Decision for us comes to mind as big fans of them. But, you know, the model of they weren't exactly a boy band, but they kind of got shoehorned in with all the groups because it was the time. If they came along, you know, 2-3 years later, you know, mid-2000s, let's say, when Maroon 5 was starting to catch on, groups like that, do you think they would have potentially had any more success than they did?
I mean, maybe. I certainly think the 2000s era, and also when I say one hit wonders, I think a little bit was just like, not to be like trolly, but I'm kind of like, some of these guys only had like three songs, let's be real. You could get them at the store in like hit clip format or whatever. But I know some people like, they get very angry about this section, which I love. I like to debate. It's fine. Tell me you hate me. All good. But because of that, this era was so oversaturated with groups that I feel like if you were any sort, like, it is interesting that Soul Decision does get kind of wrapped up in this, because I don't really think of them as a boy band, and maybe that's something for me to unpack. They're not in your tournament, are they?
They are. They actually pulled off, what was it? Ooh, It's Kind of Crazy was a 15 seed. And they actually beat a One Direction song in like a massive upset.
Wow!
Yeah, we were pulling for Faded personally, because that's definitely on our Mount Rushmore of favorite songs. But
yeah,
no, that one didn't make it. But somehow Ooh, It's Kind of Crazy did.
That's so interesting.
Faded went against Backstreet Boys, so I think it was like up against a juggernaut from the begin with.
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah, whenever I talk about boy bands, the only people other than you guys to bring up Soul Decision are Australians. So it is.
We're good company then.
Yeah, it is interesting, but yeah, I don't. It is I really don't know. Maybe they would have had the success of Maroon 5. Who knows?
It is kind of funny to hear them hear some of these guys talk with the benefit of hindsight. Like, they'll say, at the time, we hated being considered a boy band, being lumped in with them. But, you know, now 20 years later, it's kind of nice because, you know, we're remembered that way. And that's cool.
I will say that's also sort of a shared identity with all boy bands, is they all hate being called boy bands because of the sort of perceived stigma around it. I mean, I think I include this in the book, but I remember how like radical it felt when Zayn from One Direction said, like, we're a boy band, but we're a cool boy band in the One Direction documentary. Yeah. And I'm like, dude, I think all boy bands are cool. Like, you know, it doesn't require this. And then I guess like BTS will say boy band, but it's, I think there's also like, there isn't the same sort of stigma in cross-culturally. But yeah, that is interesting. Nobody wants to be called a boy band.
So where do you kind of fit? I'm thinking like 98 Degrees specifically, where they weren't quite on the level of Backstreet Boys, NSYNC, those groups, but they seem to have persevered a lot better than some of the other groups. Like, how do you think they fit into boy band history here?
I think they just had a lot of star power with the members in that group. And they're also, I think, like, even though this is a time period where like the boy band market is completely oversaturated, as I said, I always consider 98 Degrees to have something that like Backstreet Boys and NSYNC didn't, which is I feel like those members were just kind of like beefier. They were like manlier. They were like more like mask boy band, which sounds kind of silly to say, but that also offers an alternative. And what do you need when everything kind of looks the same, but a sort of alternative? So I think they had a lot of like extra musical elements going for them. And also they were just super talented. And, you know, some of these boy bands that were cropping up were we're not so talented. I shouldn't say that. Well, just didn't have the chops, and they wouldn't endure in the same way. Maybe didn't have the personality.
Absolutely.
And then you also had like the manufactured boy bands where, you know, some were professionally done, some were done in jest. Like, I mean, it was the whole, everyone was trying to capitalize on this movement, and it was just so oversaturated with the good, the bad, and the ugly, I guess.
Yeah. Oh, and for 98 Degrees, I'll also say like they were signed to Motown. So they had a little cred like that. And people are always like, what are you talking about? I'm like, yeah, but Motown in like 1998 or whatever, 97, something like that. And also, I guess like, you know, they have Nick Lachey. And also like, I can't remember when he started dating Jessica Simpson, but I do believe it was when he was in 98 Degrees. It must have been. So there's some cachet of the like dating somebody who's going to like, you scratch my back, I'll scratch your back kind of thing. Though they did really love each other. And Jessica Simpson's memoir is so good. If either of you are interested in her relationship with Nick Lachey, I actually do recommend it.
Well, that's another one of the, it's another piece of that whole purity push, the virginity push that the Jonas Brothers kind of fell into later on, where, you know, it's her dad is essentially like, you know, pumping her up, is like, there's this very attractive woman with large breasts and she's a virgin and that's great. Hey. And it's,
yeah. And both of them, now that you say that and you compare them, both like the Jonas Brothers and Jessica Simpson's father.
Oh, both pastors.
Yeah. Which is, you know, complicated.
Yeah. Kind of weird.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I would say so. I'm laughing because it's uncomfortable, just to clarify for your
listeners. Yeah, absolutely.
We're doing the same.
Yeah.
So the end of your book focuses on the new phenomena, or, well, not new. It's been, as you talked about, it's been around for quite a while, but really hit mainstream in the U.S. More recently is the K-pop phenomena, and on groups like BTS specifically. They seem to be big hits now. Do you think that's a reflection on how society has evolved over the years, or what do you think really attributes to the massive success of K-pop in the U.S. these days?
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. There are many, many reasons I think K-pop has exploded now. And I think there are many, many reasons why BTS was the group to do it. But sort of at the foundation of that is the boy band audience, typically going to veer a little younger. So we're talking more like Gen Z, but obviously it can be anybody. Anybody can like this stuff. And that's what's so beautiful about it. They're more open-minded. They are born of the internet. So borders and language barriers aren't as much of like a hoop to jump through. It's there's a little bit more fluidity there. So listening to something in Korean doesn't phase them as much as, you know, I think of like the 90s, 2000s, like Latin crossover thing where everybody had to start re-recording their songs in English for it to get radio play in America. None of those things exist anymore. So there's just a sort of progressive open-mindedness that kind of permeates that allows this stuff to succeed. I also think that like K-pop sort of offers something that the boy band story had been missing for quite some time. BTS hits in America like right after One Direction goes on indefinite hiatus. We won't say break up because we don't know about the future, knock on wood. And they offer something that is completely different from One Direction. They're doing more like hip-hop pop performance. Of course, One Direction, especially in their later years, was really channeling their inner Fleetwood Mac. They were doing this like pop rock thing. They didn't dance. BTS are some of the most incredible dancers you'll ever see. There's big spectacle. They're like a tight, well-oiled machine, and One Direction was a little bit more delinquent and tattooed and kind of, you know, just like bad boys, I guess. They offer something completely different. And if an audience likes boy bands, but maybe is getting not tired of One Direction, I shouldn't say that, but like they don't exist anymore, what could be better than another alternative, as I've said before. I'll also say it was kind of interesting. In 2015 and 2016, I followed a bunch of like fan accounts on Twitter just sort of for part of my like writing work. And it felt like overnight, a bunch of those accounts went from like loving One Direction to being BTS fan accounts. And it was the most fascinating thing because I was like, I don't even recognize these girls anymore. What are they talking about? And then I felt like I had to familiarize myself with the whole new like language of K-pop fandom. And it was cool. And it was just something that they adopted sort of immediately. And I find it to be so beautiful.
Yeah, it's quite the evolution we've had when it comes to the boy band and boy band fandom over the years. So you draw comparisons in the book, and I think this is a great analogy here, comparing teenage girls' boy band fandom to older men when it comes to sports fandom. But yet, fangirls are mocked in a way that the older male sports fan, as irrational as he may be, they tend to not get that same sort of criticism. I feel like gender's a big reason in that, but I wasn't sure if you had another take on that.
Yeah, it's primarily gender, of course, and also age, because teen girls, though they are quite frequently tastemakers, I mean, an obvious example is like Taylor Swift going from like Kids' Choice Awards to like multiple Grammys year after year, stuff like that. They kind of move the needle in what pop culture is interesting or valued years before it sort of goes through those canonical systems of those institutions, I should say. But yeah, I like the comparison of like the sport, the male sports fan and the like teen girl boy band fan, because they even commune in the same places. You're doing this in arenas and in stadiums. You're seeing the boy band and you're seeing your team play.
Right. Yeah.
And it's also just this like unbridled enthusiasm. It is very emotional. But of course, when talking about young women being emotional, you get into the sticky territory of calling them hysterical, which ends up being the sort of pathologizing, almost like trying to diagnose their behavior as some sort of mental illness. With men, with sports fans, the term emotional doesn't get thrown around quite as much, but though of course it is. I've definitely gone to games with some of my friends, and then when their team loses, it's like we're quiet, it's dead silent on the train ride home, you know, which is like, I guess you don't have those sort of stakes at the boy band concert, but if you did, it would be equally as devastating, I'm sure, if there is some sort of competition in that regard. But yeah, it is mostly gender. And it's also the fact that those gender stereotypes become reinforced if they're not challenged. Another example I like to use is like comic book fans, or like if you look at Marvel, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, these are the biggest movies of all time now, just constantly like blowing up box office records. And you don't have, or at least not, it doesn't permeate as much this like negative image of the like comic book nerd, like a virgin alone in his mom's basement or whatever it was in like the, you know, whatever 80s and earlier. Now it's like, oh, this is cool. Like being a geek is like kind of cool. Girl, like fangirls, and that can be a gender neutral phrase or it can mean teen girls, whatever you want it to mean, haven't had the same sort of like redefinition or something. And I think just like by talking about it, by being like, it's cool that these girls are like expressing themselves through musical interest, don't make fun of them. And then eventually people will stop making fun of them. And I hope that like they do. And we can talk about these things without like feeling embarrassed about it or whatever.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. So I'm going to, before we wrap up, I'm going to turn it over to Shane here. We typically ask a specific question of everyone we talk to, but given the subject matter, we're going to tweak it a bit here. I'll turn it over to Shane.
So yeah. So typically we ask like favorite songs, top four, final four, Mount Rushmore of songs. But for this one, I wanted to go a little different for you. So in your book, you mentioned the boy band formula. And that's for those who have not read the book, it's the heartthrob member, the bad boy, the cute one, the responsible and shy one. Using that formula, who would be in your ultimate boy band if you could create one?
And oh my God.
And then as two follow-up questions to make it even more fun, would they make it your 5 years and what would be their demise?
God, I'm so glad you can't see me right now because I'm sweating. Oh my God. It's also a little, this is totally going to be like a cop out and maybe I've abused that word today and I apologize, but with K-pop, those formulas are a little bit different. Boy bands are mostly just referred to by their skill set, if they're the dancer, rapper, et cetera. But the one thing that is universal in K-pop, there's this role called the maknae, which is the youngest member, which would be the cute one, not the heartthrob. Don't get it twisted. So I think maybe my cute one is going to be Jungkook from BTS.
Yeah.
So great. I wish I could quit now. This is so hard. Oh God, my heartthrob's got to be Harry Styles. I'm a Harry Styles fanatic. It is taken up so much of my life and free time, and provided me so much joy. It's just got to be him. The responsible one, and this is also the older brother type. He's sometimes way too old to be in a boy band and kind of snuck in the back there. Oh my God. Are you guys going to play too? When we're done with this?
We can.
Maybe. I'll do Kevin from Backstreet Boys. Kevin Richards.
That's a good choice. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause even nowadays, he also seems like he might be one of the few members of that band that has like progressive politics, which is important to me, and also kind of sticky when talking about boy bands, because I'm like, are we gonna jive?
Well, especially put him up against Brian. I'm assuming they probably aren't on the same end of the spectrum there.
They sure are not. So what am I left with? The shy one and the bad boy?
Yeah.
So hard. Bad boy. Let's do Donnie Wahlberg. Just like classic. I feel like he's like in a whatever, wherever this group is coming together, he's like riding in on a motorcycle. And then shy one. This is where I'm stuck because they're the shy one. It's hard to like pick one where can I do Zayn? Can I do another One Direction member?
Yeah.
Is that
your group.
Okay. Yeah. It's going to be, obviously I'm a directioner. It's very clear here in this conversation. Yeah. And that's my group. And I think they would not all get along. There's way too much handsome in this group. They're just going to butt heads and I don't know, but it would be fun to go out drinking with this group.
Yeah, I could see that.
I like that. Their demise is too much handsome.
Yeah. No.
All right, Shane.
Who do you, Shane?
Who do you got, Shane?
Let's see. So we did this with a completely abstract the last time. So I went, we went way off the grid when we were doing this as an earlier Mount Rushmore. Uh-huh. So let's see. I will go.
We let all musicians in. It wasn't just boy band one. So we had like Eminem in there, Elton John.
Oh my God. Wait, why did I do that? I also cannot believe I did not say Ricky Martin or Michael Jackson. Maybe.
Oh, I didn't even think about it.
So yeah. So I got to start with cute one. I got to go with Michael Jackson. That's probably Jackson 5 is probably one of my all time favorites. I mean, heartthrob. I'm team JT. I've been team JT through and through. Responsible one.
I'll also say some of these, like, these are the roles that I've sort of defined. They do change from person to person. So
yeah.
And you can do with it what you will. Like sometimes in the UK, they'll be like, but what about the cheeky one? And I'm like, what is that? Bad, like,
we're all cheeky. let's see. I mean, Kevin is like the ultimate responsible one, right? Like I hate he to is. Take the one you did, but it's like, when you think about that, he's like the one guy who kind of, you know, despite leaving, has been there.
No, that's true. Cause I was even thinking like maybe JC, cause when I was a kid, they were both my crushes and I was like, they kind of looked the same or like whatever. They were like the tall brunette in the background didn't say much, but sang beautifully. But yeah, Kevin's way more responsible. Kevin's the older brother for sure.
And I feel like Donnie is like the ultimate bad boy, but like, can we count Marky Mark in the Funky Bunch? Because I would love to go Mark Wahlberg as my bad boy.
You know, he was almost in the group. So yeah,
he flirted with it. So if that counts, I will go with that as my bad boy to be a little bit different. And then shy one. Maybe to go, I mean, Howie never really upset the apple cart. I mean, he's seemed like a good blue guy.
I was thinking, I love Howie. I have so much respect mm-hmm. for Howie. Howie's an incredible vocalist. If you haven't seen the Backstreet Boys documentary, he is like just such a star. He made me cry in that movie. And I'm like, Howie, how dare you? Howie's such a good pick.
I think he's just a great glue guy.
Yes, yeah.
And so wasn't he supposed to be the lead vocalist at one point?
He was, yeah, but like it, like many boy bands, you find the person, you're like, okay, you're the best vocalist, but if they don't have the natural charisma mm-hmm. or the sort of like leadership, I'm going to be in the front energy. That's sort of like what happened with Zayn in One Direction, where it's like he was clearly the best vocalist in that group, but like didn't have the sort of like natural charisma of a Harry Styles. And also Howie was supposed to be, it was almost going to be in Menudo at one point, because Menudo existed for 30 years.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. And Howie's also half Puerto Rican. So
would
make a lot of sense.
And so mine does not make it 5 years. I think there's just too many, birds that can't be caged. And so I think it's because of budding and aspiring and successful solo careers, mine and acting prowess. I think mine goes demise.
Yeah. I don't know if like JT and MJ can perform next to each other, because I think JT would just be starstruck the whole time. And Michael Jackson would be like, who's this guy trying to steal my thunder?
Agreed. Okay. Mike, what you got?
Well, I'm gonna filibuster here for a second, because Maria brought up the documentary. Have you seen it, Shane?
No, I've not.
Okay, I haven't seen the whole thing, but I have seen some clips from it. And one clip I constantly keep going back to, I think it's on YouTube. They're having this meeting. The group is with, I guess, tour execs or whoever, and they're talking about the upcoming tour, I think. And at one point, I guess Nick cuts off Brian when they're talking about something, and Brian of all people yells, "Shut the F up and let me finish." And then they start going back and forth, like, "You shut the fuck up," and back and forth. But my favorite part of it is you see Kevin in the background at first. He just starts laughing like, here we go. And then when he realized it was serious, he kind of stepped in and took on the big brother role, but he was loving it at first. It's like, When I turned on that clip, the one thing I did not expect was Brian Littrell to suddenly drop an F-bomb. And it's like, whoa,
right.
This is some good stuff.
Yeah, and the fact that they allowed you to see it is kind of what's also most shocking, because this is certainly in the boy band era where everything is so buttoned up and you don't have access to them on social media in the same sort of way that they would be so forthright with it. But also, like, if they're screaming at each other and they still love each other, that's how you stay a group for almost three decades. You know, you have to be able to fight in love.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So Heartthrob. I will go. What was Nick considered?
Backstreet Boys are interesting because I don't think they fit the formula perfectly. Because Nick would technically be the cute one because he was 13 when the group started. But like, I feel like he was very much the heartthrob. He was the one everybody had a crush on, though Americans tend to favor the cute one over the heartthrob in general. But you can, I think you can put him as your heartthrob or your cute one.
I'll allow it. Perfect. Thank you. We got a ruling from the committee. Nick is going to be my heartthrob. The cute one, I'm going to go with Joey. But not like, not prepubescent. NKOTB Joey, like a little bit older. I just like his voice for some reason.
Yeah.
So we'll go Nick, we'll go Joey. Bad boy. I guess I'll go Donnie as well. Even though I was somewhat, I guess, not disappointed, but I didn't realize that the tales of his supposed escapades towards the end of the group initially were overblown. Because I remember the supposed story of him setting fire to a hotel room or something to find out it's not exactly what happened. So I feel better about it now, having him in there. Shy One, I'm going to go Chris Kirkpatrick of NSYNC.
Yeah.
A good choice.
He could also fit, like, I guess he's supposed to be the responsible one because he's like 60, but but he fits more shy to me, and I feel like he'd be a good time. So I'll throw him in there for that and responsible one. Here's an outside the box one. I'm going to go Justin from 98 Degrees. Because I think it's nice to have like a true bass in the group. He's got an incredibly deep voice. I don't think this group is going to last very long because they're just going to be like, what are we doing here, guys? This is an odd combination. But though, it'd probably be like Mission Man Band on VH1. Several years ago, where it's like, we'll record a couple songs, we'll do a reality TV series, and then we'll go back to our original groups and be better for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, there we go.
These are great groups. It's funny, after listening to both of your picks, I realized I was not thinking about vocal performance at all. I was just like naming some of my favorites next to one another. What are you going to do?
It's whatever you want it to be. So if you're happy with it, we're happy with it.
Certainly. I'm just glad you didn't come up with a name for them, because that's the other thing. I think boy band names are always kind of funny. You just say them enough where they don't feel ridiculous anymore.
Quick story. So I may or may not have been in a boy band when I was in high school.
What?
like, it is in our small town in North Carolina where we goofed around at a town event, and then they asked us to perform for real. So then we were like, okay, well, I guess we got to learn some songs and some dance moves for our one show. But we were thinking about a group name, and we were like, well, you know, a lot of the bands recently seem to have numbers in it, like 98 Degrees, and there's Five. We just need something that we can tell them that we're for real. And then we were like, we got it, for real. So it was like 4-REEL. Which was great, except we had five people. So the four made no sense.
That's so good.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's
it was
the joke about the MTV band Together, wasn't it? Because it was like there's like five of them or whatever, but they have the two and there are other examples of that. That's so funny. Wow. Way to bury the lead, man. Is there video footage of this?
It's on the old 8mm tape. Oh, so I would have to dig them out from my dad's house next time I travel back east. So we'll have to see. But I do have one other question, not boy band related, just because I find it fascinating. So I saw that you did an interview, if I'm correct, with Chad Kroeger of Nickelback.
I did. I love Chad.
Okay, so I have an irrational love of Nickelback and Chad Kroeger. What was that like?
Not irrational, my friend. But he was so gracious and just like so excited to nerd out about How You Remind Me. It was a anniversary retrospective about the song. And I love Nickelback. I think those songs are so fun to do at karaoke. It's always like people are apprehensive. And then by the time the first chorus hits, they're like, what? Wait a second. This is a banger. And I'm also kind of the mindset where I think they are just sort of like, irrationally criticized, because it's like there are so many, like, if you hate, like, you would have to sort of criticize all of that, like, genre of like post Nirvana grungy radio rock stuff. I should also say I grew up kind of like an army brat, so a lot of military radio is like heavy in the like Nickelback Creed space, so I have much respect for that testosterone dripping guitar music.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a dream of mine to somehow get Chad to come on to the pod, but I don't think that will, I doubt that'll happen anytime soon, but.
I think if you just ask politely and you're very patient, but he did say he would karaoke with me at some point. I was like, you better, man. I'm never going to forget this. I'm really going to like, not to be unprofessional, but man, I gotta do How You Remind Me with this man.
Oh yeah. If that ever happens, I need you to tweet that out and I will travel to whatever bar or establishment that is at.
He said that like he's gone to, I can't remember if this made the piece, but he said that like he doesn't go to karaoke a lot because it's like, it's not like I go to a play with my actor friends and say, hey, go on stage and perform. And I was like, that makes sense. But he was like, there have been a couple of times where he's been talked into doing Nickelback songs. Typically, if he's in a place where he thinks nobody will recognize him, because if they recognize him, he's like, oh, it's like the guy who wants attention sort of thing. And I'm like, I respect that. But I live in Brooklyn, and he's like, yeah, no one's going to know what I look like. And I'm like, well, dude, you don't know. My friend certainly will.
Yeah, that'd be something. I could just see, like, he's performing, and they're like, the one person that recognizes the song in the abstract bar is like, that sounds pretty good. And then, like, they finally realize at the end of it that it's actually him.
Yeah.
Or maybe not even. Like, yeah, he did a pretty good Nickelback cover there.
Yeah, I don't, maybe not, because I sort of see, like, I think he had such a distinct look of that era, and now he's, like, got his hair cut short, perhaps people wouldn't recognize him.
That's true.
I don't know, I think he's the best, and he was so, like, intelligent and generous with his time. We talked for well over an hour, and it was originally supposed to be, like, 20 minutes. He's like, a great guy, can't say enough good things about Chad Kroeger.
Yeah, well, we'll make that our next project, try and...
We'll give you something to aspire to.
Yeah,
hey, if you ever want to do a tournament that's just like radio rock bands or whatever, I'm using that term very loosely, but like, you know what I'm talking about. we'll do it.
Yeah, that was somebody suggested that as the next possible thing. So we will.
How did they describe? Did they say cock rock? Like, how do you describe, what is the preferred term for this music?
I don't know.
Post grunge seems too academic or like too limiting.
I think it was when it came up with somebody else, it was just like rock music, like Nickelback and that sort of thing.
I think that's pretty much what they said in the comments. Like, oh, okay. Can we do this?
Yeah. Yeah. Like maybe some rock like Nickelback and Creed. Okay. Yeah. That works. We'll do that.
Yeah. Stained. You could have like a category that's just like loosely Christian related or something.
Nirvana or Pearl Jam.
Right.
There you go.
Is Seether still a band?
Oh my god, Bother is such a good song.
It's a banger, I'm telling you.
Man, yeah, wow. We'll talk when we get to designing a bracket for that.
Yeah, another kind of boy band of a different ilk, if you will.
Yes. Guys that also sing, but also probably want to fight.
There you go. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, Maria, thank you so much for your time, especially in the midst of a movie. We greatly appreciate it. Again, the book is Larger Than Life, a history of boy bands from NKOTB to BTS. Thanks again for doing this. You are amazing and we appreciate it.
Thanks so much for having me. This was a blast. I'm so energized. Maybe I'm going to like open some boxes. I'm really just going to go listen to Nickelback. Let's be real. But thank you so much. This was such a treat.
Yeah, thanks. We'll talk to you when we do the rock band one.
Please, or anything. This is fun. You guys are so smart and cool. And yeah, I really enjoyed this.
Yeah, you're thanks welcome so much. Anytime. Yeah, anytime. All right, so we're at the end of the show. So you know what time it means, or you know what that means? It's time for our favorite thing.
It's time for the douchebag of the week.
Douchebag of the week. 15 years and running. Shane, who would you like to nominate?
So this week I have Refugio Jimenez Jr. and Angela Jimenez. So it's a little bit of an older story, but they were recently charged with 29 counts of manslaughter in California because they decided to host a gender reveal party that ended up sparking a California wildfire that ended up toasting, let's see, 22,000 acres across two counties and destroying 5 homes and 15 buildings, as well as injuring 13 people. So they did a gender reveal that had some sort of like fireworks or firecracker or some sort of whatever, but it sparked this little fire in this park that they were hosting, went out of control. They couldn't control it, and then it just kind of went crazy. And then they pleaded not guilty after they were the ones who started this fire. So I'm not a fan of gender reveals. I'm not a fan of gender reveal parties. And then this is like the preeminent example of when gender reveals go wrong. I do laugh at like complete gender reveal fails for these idiots who are trying to do something and then it happens. But, you know, you do you, but when you then decide to burn down 22 acres for your own selfish nature of ridiculous celebrations, I'm nominating you for Douchebag of the Week, and rightfully so.
Yeah, gender reveal parties are the absolute worst. The only time it's appropriate is if it results in one of the people getting hit in the balls.
Yeah, if you do something funny, you do something like, you know, creative, it's great. When you do like a whole party just to do it, and, you know, very LeBron James of you.
Yeah, I think if I ever have a kid, we're not going to do a gender reveal, but it would be like cutting the cake and a message inside, gender is a construct. Just to have fun.
Or like, you know, then fast forward to like 18 years when then they decide to do their gender reveal.
Right, exactly. Gender reveal, TBD.
Call back, fast forward.
Yeah. But we'll cross that bridge if that were ever to come up. So, all right. So we're at the end of our journey for this week. Voting will open in 5 minutes, veryboybandsummer.com. I think what we agreed on was voting will end next week. Shane will not be here. I'll figure out a way to reveal the two finalists, and then we'll have that go for another week. But we'll have voting end at the end of the show. On, I guess that would be August the something or another.
Okay, in a second. Should be, you know, that's week of the second, so that would put that
August 5th. Yeah, so we're going to have the finalists announced next week, and then we'll reveal the grand champion at the end of the show on August 5th. Maybe we'll do some sort of Facebook live stream or something. We'll see. But that is it for this week. Thank you, as always, for coming across on our journey as we navigate the best boy band song of all time. As always, I'm Mike, and he is Shane. Take care, and we will see you soon.